podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi there, I'm Brian Abana, and you're listening to the Mall Over Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Mall Over Podcast, the only rugby podcast that gives you the news, views, and opinion on the weekend's rugby action, all with a West Country accent. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Mall Over Podcast, Mall Over Rugby Podcast on Facebook, and we are now proudly members of the Sport Social Podcast Network, a network where you can find lots of sport-related podcasts across all different sporting genres. So if you like football or cricket or tennis or loads of different stuff, check out the Sport Social at the Sport Social on Twitter, where you'll find us and lots of other podcasts. I am joined this week by Housewife's favourite, Farm Vet. Welcome.
Ladies. I think at 3 weeks it's reached its peak, and I'm gonna bin that off.
Yeah, I think that's ran its race, Phil, that one. Ben Eustace, nicest man in Cornish Rugby Podcasting. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, Russ?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
No one ever asks you, do they?
I guess it's because nobody really cares, but thanks for asking. Appreciated. And the last by no means least, it's the Lensman. How you doing, Doug?
I'll be honest, I've had better days, but we'll
gloss over that.
We'll gloss over that, yeah.
Did you work on any rugby at the weekend, Doug?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You was European, wasn't it? Where were you at the weekend, Douglas?
Hey, were you the tax man?
It's getting a bit personal, isn't it? Yeah. Edinburgh, Gloucester, and Saracens.
Did you enjoy it?
Not especially. It was a trying week.
A trying week in the world of rugby broadcasting.
Yeah, quite.
Well, in some news, I see that ITV have struck a deal for Premiership highlights and to show the Premiership final. Is it this year, the Premiership final that they've got? And then
it's
highlights
year,
after
mate.
That? Every year.
I think they've got it for 4 years, I think.
Yeah, they've got a handful. Is it three or is it four? Other live games as well that they're co-broadcasting. So
is that
on BT
is that
Sport
taken
and
over
on ITV.
From... Is that taken over from the ones that were previously broadcast on Channel 5? There were like three or four of those a season, isn't it? So I guess that they're going to be, which would be, it'd be good. Hopefully there'll be people who watch it. But the main rugby on terrestrial television that people will all be watching over the next 8 weeks or so is the Six Nations. And it doesn't feel like 5 minutes ago that we were talking about autumn internationals and, England beating South Africa and, having a great autumn. And now we're very much in the realms of Six Nations. We're looking at a week Saturday where England travels to Scotland for the Calcutta Cup. And last week after we recorded, not immediately after, he didn't wait for us to finish and go, right, now those pricks are finished, I can name a squad. Eddie Jones named his England squad for... It's not for the whole Six Nations, is it? I think is it specifically for the Scotland game and they're going to reassess it? They're not doing full-on COVID-type bubble shit. But he's named the 36-man training squad that are going to get together this week, release back to the Premiership, I assume, and then back together on Monday to prepare for the Six Nations. So, Phil, we'll start with you. Where's your biggest sort of... view and shock on Eddie Jones's Six Nations training squad?
Well, I don't think there's major shocks per se. I think kind of the centres is definitely a point that I think is worth discussing. Jones had definitely gone in. I'm pretty sure he almost came out and said it with a view that he would be looking at Farrell at 12 outside Smith. And in fact, in an interview, he said that as great as Smith is, he needs Farrell outside him, which I just think is the biggest pile of twaddle ever. Now,
what?
I'm not... Exactly. Biggest pile of Chris Waddle ever. Now, I'm not anti-Farrell. I like Farrell. I think he's a really good player. I think his problem almost is that he gets played at 10 and 12 and doesn't really know what to do and gets a lot of pressure on him. But I think what Marcus Smith needs outside him is Esterhazen, because that's what works, is him having an out ball who he can give the ball to and know that, well, and from loose play, it's Esterhazen or Dombrandt. Give the ball to them. You know they're going to make yards, give you forward possession, and it makes everything that bit easier. And because of that, I think it's great that Atkinson's in, and I think it's pretty good that Northmore's there as well. And I think he'll play one of the two of them at 12 and Slade at 13.
It's interesting you say that, because Marcus Smith, I mean, we can't underestimate how good Marcus Smith is, and he does make things happen. But you do have to ask the question that having Esterhazen and Dombrandt either side of you as an option, 9 times out of 10, will buy you a lot of time to be able to do almost exactly what you want with the ball. And England aren't going to play like that because they don't have that blunt force instrument. If Tuilagi was fit, for instance, you could really see that working. I haven't seen much of Northmore at 12. I've seen a bit of him at 13, obviously outside Esterhazen. And Mark Atkinson, he's just so premiership, isn't he? If you were to say, like, you know, we discussed a few weeks ago the Atkinson and Harris. And, you know, Harris was a Lion. Harris has been sensational for Scotland, and he was really good for the Lions, and you know, he stepped up. But they, as a centre partnership, they are, you know, as reliable as kind of fish and chips, aren't they? It's, you know exactly what you're going to get every single time. There's no X factor. Like, Marcus Smith's looking at Mark Atkinson after playing with Esterhazen and going, fuck me, this is not good.
Yeah, but equally, he's reliable enough that you give him the ball and you know he's going to run forwards, and he'll make a decent effort of a contact situation. He'll make yards forwards. He'll.
I don't think he will in instance rugby.
I don't know. I think he will. I think he did all right when he's come on for England. What's the alternative? The alternative is you play Slade there, who is not an out ball for Marcus Smith if he's under pressure.
No. No, but I think Slade probably offers more than what Farrell does at 12. And that then could release someone like Northmore.
Why are we so convinced that he needs that out ball?
I don't think he...
He didn't need it in the Premiership final.
Who played at 12 in the Premiership final?
It wasn't Esterhazen because he was injured.
Was it Marchant and Northmore? Let's find
out. Yeah, I just think it's a very narrow-minded way to think about probably one of the most naturally gifted players England's produced ever.
So it's not about his talent. It's about what that... So we've criticised Ford for the fact that he didn't cope very well when the scrum was going backwards and he was under pressure. And actually, there's been... Smith's very fortunate that he's playing behind a pack that actually is doing a really solid job and dominating those set plays and dominating around the field as well. We haven't seen a huge amount of him with a pack that's going backwards. If he gets that security of knowing, if you look most of the time when he's got Esterhazen there and Dombrandt as options, he'll use them 3 times out of every 5. As a carrying option to take the ball forwards, to create the space, and having that as a viable threat holds that defensive line tight, which gives him the ability to unpick things wider out. If you don't have that as a viable threat, if he plays Slade at 12 and Marchant at 13, backlines are going to be spread out, flankers are going to be covering that bit further, and there's less space for him to take advantage of. Maybe I put the wrong emphasis there in terms of saying he needs an out ball, but I think it allows him to play his game far better.
Esterhazen started the Premiership final.
What game didn't he start? There was one that he was banned for one, wasn't he?
Was it Bristol in the semi-final?
Maybe. But look, my larger point is that it's a very British way to look at it, to say Marcus Smith needs X to be good. I just think...
I didn't say that, though. What I said is, I think it's
what the larger public, you know, the George Ford apologists and the
But you name a flyer.
Oh, but Smith needs a bosher. He's too small. His defense is like.
Doesn't every flyer half need a bosher? I can't think.
And that was my point. Dan Carter had Nonu. Wilkinson had Tindall. Pretty much every Finn Russell's got Chris Harris. Pretty much every fly half out there looks better when they've got a hard carrying centre outside.
The reason the Lions always used to pick Jamie Roberts.
Okay, yeah. Well then Mark Atkinson's your man, right? Is the biggest centre we've got in England.
And I would say
if
yes.
If all you want him to do is run crash ball, then you can pick Mark Atkinson.
Yeah, and I think Atkinson at 12 and Slade at 13 is a pretty balanced combination and will allow Smith to do the best that Smith can.
That's what I got, Phil.
Is that what you've picked, Ben? Just what Phil said?
Yeah.
Well, I would...
Atkinson and Slade, yeah.
I disagree. I'd pick Slade and Marchant. There you go.
But you're going back then to the back. Sorry, I've got a real bad cold, so I sound terrible. But
you sound very, very adenoidy.
Yeah. You're going back then to what England's problem's been for the last 5 years when they haven't had Tuilagi, which is they haven't got anyone who's going to straighten the line. Like Farrell used to try and do it and used to get absolutely battered from 12. And you've just got all across your back line again. Five guys that are all the same size.
And it made Slade look shit because Farrell was never really tying anybody in bar the opposite man.
So this is where I think that Henry Slade could potentially come into his own. Because, I mean, Slade takes the ball to the line. You see was it the Rafi Quirk try against South Africa where he put Marchant through that hole playing at first receiver? Because Tuilagi went off injured, if you remember, fairly early doors after scoring his try, didn't he? And Slade tucked in and Marchant came in at outside centre. And Slade has the ability, whilst not being a massive carrier, he takes the ball right to the line and so does Smith. So actually having a pivot where both of those players go right to the line is an interesting concept. The difference that Ford and Farrell have had for quite some time is that they haven't got anywhere near the line because they've just been hoofing the ball up in the air. So without that, Slade can kick the ball. You've got a left-right combination. I don't think that Eddie Jones would look to play that tactical kicking game if he had Slade in there at 12. I think that there would be a much more freedom. There would be much more freedom to play heads up because of Slade's ability in attack, where Farrell is more limited in what he does in that position. And then you add Marchant in there. You could put Northmore in there. You could legitimately look to put Jack Knoll in there. I know there's talk of Knoll playing in the centre or being, that 23, a bit like Daly, that can play, outside centre.
But Russ, what do Exeter do to bring the best out of Slade? They play him at 13 with a big lump inside him. So I just think...
They do.
He's just coming off his best game for England. All right. It was a while ago, but play him in his best position.
Fair enough. No, I'm just offering an alternative. And I wonder, I know I mentioned Jack Knoll in the centres. Like, Mark Atkinson is a genuine 12, right?
Yeah.
There's no qualms about that. Could Jack Knoll play 12?
No.
No.
Okay.
I don't think
he could really play 13, in all honesty. I don't think his hands are good enough. I don't think his passing is good enough. I think...
mate, have you seen Tuilagi pass over the last 7 years?
Have I seen who, sorry?
Tuilagi.
Oh, yeah, Tuilagi can't pass, but he's a totally different type of player to what you'd be asking Noel to do. When Tuilagi's playing, they get the ball out wide by going putting the ball nowhere near him. But there was a couple of passes at the weekend where Noel looked to be trying to play a bit in the centres and drifting inside to make himself a bit busier. And there was one pass went 5 yards behind the player he was supposed to be going to. There was another one was down at his knees. I just don't think his passing is crisp enough in the middle. When he does really good passes, it's running full pelt. When he catches the ball, he's got 10 yards to run and then a pass to a player. When he's under pressure, I don't think it's good enough. That's my view on it.
I play him
on the wing quite happily. In fact, I think he'll probably start on the wing.
I mean, looking at our options now, the back division had Atkinson, Farrell, who's now been replaced by Ford, Malins, Marchant, May, who has now been replaced by Daly, Quirk, Randall, Slade, Smith, and Stewart. So, you know, from that, you would think Stewart, due to the autumn performances, is nailed on at 15. And then you're looking at Slade is nailed on in the centres, either at 12 or 13. And then it's AN other to fill 12 and the two wing slots, where you'd probably think that Malins, he liked Malins in the wing slots before he got injured in the autumn as well, didn't he? And Noel potentially, or Marchant and Noel. He seems to these utility backs, doesn't he?
I've got Malins and Noel.
I think that's probably what he'll go for. I'd rather see Marchant and Noel and Malins on the bench.
I mean, it wouldn't matter. Like, to me, it doesn't matter which one of those three you pick on the wing and which one puts them on the bench. Because either way, you've got cover across the back line.
Yeah.
So if you're picking a back line, Ben, from now, you mentioned, so who are you starting at nine?
Youngs.
So you've got Young, Smith, Atkinson, Slade, Marchant, Young, Marchant, Noel, and Stewart?
No, Malins, Noel, and Stewart.
Malins, Noel, and Stewart. All right. Doug, would you disagree with that based on who's currently in the squad?
Probably would like to give Hassel Collins a run out.
Actually, Doug, I was going to say I really would quite like to see that. Probably with Noel.
Yeah.
If it was at Twickenham, I think he might do it, but away from home, maybe not.
Of course, I've missed out here the players that are not highlighted on the website that I'm using at Rugby World, which is Freeman, Furbank, and Hassel Collins, Northmore, and Ben Youngs.
Yeah, I've got a real. I'm sort of in a pickle with this England side. I don't really know what to. Eddie Jones has done a lot of wacky shit over the years, but he seems obsessed with only picking players who don't have a position. You know, Malins is a great player, but tell me where he's positioned. We seem to not be creating players, apart from Freddie Stewart, who is like the best in his position. We're picking sort of oval-shaped players to try and cram into round holes. I just wish, you know, that he'd pick your best players for the positions. So Smith at 10. All this talk of, oh, Noel's in the squad because he can do so many different things. I don't think he's in the top five wingers in the country at the moment. I don't think Slade... I think a lot of the other options we've got in the forwards as well as the backs, I don't necessarily think they're the best players for the positions we've got. And I think the only two that we've got that are out and out, that's your position, that's where you play, is, you know, apart from the nines, our sort of wingers and centres are just sort of, well, they can do this and they can do that and they can do that, but they're not.
You're almost utility
players. Well, and that's then. And that's part of the reason why I think I'd rather see Malins on the bench, is his best position is probably 23. Because yeah. he would be the third best at any position. I disagree a bit on Jack Nowlan, that I think that form-wise he's nearly as good as he's ever been. I mean, how Johnny May gets in that squad, I've got no idea.
Well, yeah, quite agree with that.
He's gone now anyway, so.
the name that we've skirted around and haven't really said anything about, Orlando Bailey. I don't really care whether he's in the squad or not.
He won't get anywhere near the matchday squad. This is exactly the same as having Umaga and when they pick Smith as like the apprentice type player or whatever. Everyone's clamoring about it. It means fuck all.
Zach Mercer.
Yeah, I'd rather, if you're going to have that position and you're picking all these utility players, why pick Orlando Bailey when you've played George Furbank at 10 in an international?
Yeah.
Like, commit to having George Furbank as your utility 10. Why bring in another bloke who's probably not even in the top 15, 10 to 12 fly halves in the country at the moment?
Well, yeah, indeed. Especially when you consider that they picked Smith and Farrell to start with, who are genuine tens. You've then got Slade, who could do a job there. Furbank, who you've picked there. Malins, who can play there as well. What's the point in having someone like Orlando Bailey just hanging on?
I would argue, what's the point of calling up George Ford? What is the point? The only reason I can see that he's been brought into the squad is that he's going to play. Otherwise, what's the point?
We must be coming off. Well, he must be the
only. I think he's got to be on the bench now.
The point, George. Does he? If Malins is there and can cover 10,
yeah, but Malins will cover. That's the point. He wouldn't want that unless you're going to have a
6-2 split.
A 6-2 split. Then you have someone like Malins on the bench.
But the other reason you've got to have Ford in the squad is if Marcus Smith falls over and breaks his leg tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's, then you're in that's real the trouble. Call him up tomorrow.
It's not like he's not been around the squad for long enough to know exactly how it all operates.
But, yeah, they might have different playbooks and things.
I mean, you'd rather have your start in 10 with you for a week before a game, wouldn't you?
I don't know. Russ has played starting 10, having just walked off the pitch from another match.
That's true.
I think that is a really good point that Doug's made, in that so many of these players are utility backs, which a little bit goes back to what I was saying earlier about them all being the same size, because they are sort of one size fits all players. As you say,
maybe
Stewart's
it's so they
specialist.
Can just order the same size shirts.
Yeah,
maybe it's like Russ.
Maybe the RFU cuts are really cutting in, but you know, I mean, I know on Eddie's podcast, he's not really feeling too laggy anymore. But you know, he is an out and out centre, and he has a job in the team, and you know what it is, and it's effective. Whereas you are kind of mixing and matching a little bit with a lot of these players. But are there that many? I mean, I can't think of a sort of, I mean, Slade is an out and out center. He's just, he could play 12 or 13. And then if you're desperate, he could play somewhere else for 10 minutes, you know, but I can't think of many other better centers that aren't in the squad. The only one I can sort of springs to mind really quickly is Lazowski. But, you know, fit and available, I would say there aren't that many better options.
Well, Lazowski's been playing very well for Saracens, hasn't he? And he does,
yeah,
but he does that same thing. Like, 10, he's 10, not, 12. He's 10, 12, 10, 12, 13.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, it's odd, isn't it?
And it only seems to be England that seem to want to do it. You don't see many players, and you don't see Ntamack playing at 12.
You do. Or,
I not think for it France. Comes down to the fact that
you do.
I don't think Eddie Jones rates many of our players.
So going back to this kind of Bailey thing, now to me, I think, as I say, I'm not really that fussed because he's not going to get anywhere near a matchday squad. He'll be released back to the team, back to Bath. Actually, I'd be pissed off if I was Stuart Hooper, where you're languishing at the bottom of the Premiership and you could really do with doing some work prior to matches, and your first choice 10's disappeared for a bit, knowing full well that he's not going to play. For me, for those kind of guys, why don't you just either bring back the Saxons or effectively have like a Saxons training camp in the summer where you get those kind of players in for a couple of weeks with the coaches, you have a look at them and you go, that's great, no matches, but we've seen what you can do at training. You've seen what we want to do. And then if we want to call on you because we might need you in a match day squad, we'll do it at a later stage. I think you could really trim that squad down to 27, 28 and allow for a bit of injuries to pull your match day squad from. There are players there that I don't think any of us would expect to get anywhere near a match day 23 unless there's injuries.
I mean, they will trim it at some stage, won't they? But
yeah. But what will happen is it will ultimately boil down to the same players that we've seen for quite some time. There may be one or two. One of those may be Barberi. He may be one that sticks around and gets a shot. And I'd like to see it, even as a back row replacement, or now that he's not picked Underhill. Or should I say, he left Underhill out because he wasn't ready, played for Bath and got another smack in the chops at the weekend. The back row is somewhere that could be pretty hotly contested. As mentioned, he said that he was picking Courtney Laws as his captain for the Scotland game, which would likely mean that he will be starting at six with Hill and Itoji. The front row is kind of up for grabs. You'd think that Cowan Dickey and George will share the hooker duties. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what he does with the props. I mean, he's picked as far as props go, he's picked Genge and Hayes and Rod, Sinclair and Stewart.
And Marler.
And Marler. Has he got Marler? Yes, he has. So you think Marler will probably start?
I'd have thought Genge and Sinclair will start, but I'd rather see Genge and Stewart. I wanted to talk about this for a minute, actually. We can all judge front row players with what they do in the loose. But I was thinking about this. It's actually really hard to judge the technical ability of front row players out of Premiership games, because some of them could be playing with dog shit second rows pushing behind them. Some of them could be like, I really rate Will Stewart. I think he's a decent player. But when you watch him play for Bath, he looks awful because the rest of the scrum seems really disorganised and they get absolutely humped in the scrums. You look at Bevan Rod playing in the Premiership and he looks okay. You watch him against South Africa and he gets bent in half.
That always makes me question, why is it that the prop is the one that always gets the yellow card? Always the prop.
Because it's the props that end up committing the penalty fouls because they're the ones taking all the force through them. And it's horseshit, and we all know it's horseshit, but it is what it is. But yeah, and I don't know, like, I know Eddie Stevens absolutely rants and raves against about Bevan Rod, but I think he's making that judgment on what he's doing in the loose. If you can't win your scrums, though, what good is it being pretty good around the park as a front row player?
And England have had issues at scrum time for quite a while.
Yeah, I think
give away a lot.
I think I'd be starting Marler, I think.
Oh, Ben.
I know.
For all of his fun, we all know our feelings about Joe Marler, right? As a bloke, as an individual, whatever. What you can't question, I don't think, is his ability to scrummage. And, you know, for a long, long time, he has probably been England's best scrummaging prop for as long as I can remember. I mean, when it was Marler and Cole, for a decent amount of time, our scrum was rock solid. And then Cole started to fall by the wayside a little bit. Marler was sharing game time with who was he sharing game time with? Sinclair?
Mako
is a, I can't remember which way around.
Yeah, Mako.
He was sharing game time with Mako. That's right. And Sinclair was sharing it with Cole.
The scrum's never quite recovered from losing Corbustiero.
No, you're right. And Mako got worked out.
And they've never been quite the same, yeah.
But Mako, he
covered up a lot of Cole's problems as well.
When Mako first came in, he used to scrummage really well. And I think people just worked him out a little bit. And I don't know from a technical point of view what they were doing, but you'd see plenty of games where Mako is being pinged left, right, and centre and getting turned over from somebody who looks like scrummaging ought to be his strongest point. And Marler is definitely the best scrummager out of the loose heads. For me, I'd start Genge and bring Marler on with 25 to go.
It's an interesting one. We'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know enough about the front row. I'd like to see some dynamism come off the bench. I'd like to see your set piece start really, really solid. And then against tired defences, the likes of Genge coming on to wreak havoc for that last 20 minutes. That's how I see it. But, you know, I think because in the scrum, I think the likes of Genge let themselves down to a certain extent.
Yeah, I know this is moving back a little bit, but yeah, potentially that's where your Barberis or maybe Lewis Ludlam coming on can add a bit of not just dynamism but power with it as well.
And that's where if you pick Courtney
and maybe
Laws,
Sam Simmons.
So yeah, and that's the other thing as well, isn't it? So if for argument's sake we're going to say I don't know, Sinclair, Cowan-Dickey and Marler as the starting props. Then you've got Hill and Itoje with Laws at six, Curry at seven, Don Brown at eight. Is there any, like that back row is pretty much nailed on, isn't it? It's not going to be anything different than that.
So.
Then if you've got Laws at six, you could afford to potentially pick two back row on the bench.
Yeah, the only issue with that is playing style wise and grunt in the pack. Laws would be a more natural replacement for Itoje, and Charlie Yule's then potentially a more natural replacement.
How Charlie Yule
for Johnny Hill?
I swear to God, it's bollocks, mate. Like. All of this, oh, Charlie Yules is elite, is a great leader. Charlie Yules, he is fucking rubbish, mate.
So take that back to what you were saying about why do the props always get simbined and get penalised when the second rows are involved as well. I think Charlie Yules probably does a better job in the tight than he gets given credit for.
In this country, we've got probably 20 locks who could play international rugby. And Charlie Yules is probably 21st on that list.
Yeah. McNally gets in ahead of fucking Charlie Yules.
Oh, but again, McNally gets in because of his dynamism around the pitch and what he does in the loose. McNally won't provide as much shove in the pack.
Do you not think, though, it goes Itoje, Laws and Hill, and then your next best 2 second rows are Cruz and Launchbury?
Well,
do you think there's any...
there isn't any doubt in that.
If Launchbury was... Is Launchbury fit?
If Launchbury's fit, Johnny Hill doesn't play.
If Launchbury's fit, then him and Johnny Hill do that kind of tight headlock, for want of a better term.
You make me sick.
But if you shift to Itoje and Laws in the second row, I think you'll lose some ballast in the scrums. And against Scotland, that will probably be fine for the last 20 minutes. You do that against France and they'll get murdered.
Are you seriously saying that if we have Itoje and Courtney Laws in the row,
we will lose.
Go backwards.
I'm saying that.
But Charlie, yours will make it go forwards.
Or at least go backwards less quickly against the French.
That's bollocks.
You have said that to me before loads of times. We disagree all the time on stuff.
Phil, how much of a difference to the scrum would it make having Dom Brandt at eight rather than Curry?
A significant amount.
Yeah.
Do you want me to put a percentage on it?
Yes.
I'm not going to. 13% difference.
13%.
Yeah.
So then if that's making 13% worth of difference, does that make up for the perceived difference that Charlie Yules adds ahead of Courtney Laws? Because
But you're not gonna take Curry off to bring Barbieri or Simmons on.
What, how do you know?
I wouldn't. If Curry's fit, he plays the full 80.
If you've got 3 second rows on the pitch and you want to bring Barbieri or Simmons on, you take a second row off.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't imagine, like...
To me, that's where the 6-2 split happens.
Yeah, I can't imagine three forward,
second row, two back row on the bench.
I don't think they even need a second row. They've got three on the team.
That's the point.
Dom Brandt could go there for the last 5 minutes if they got a problem.
Yeah.
Curry could go there for 5 minutes if they've got a problem. But yeah.
There's no way that Sam Simmons, like, I beat this drum a lot. There's no way that Sam Simmons cannot be in that matchday squad.
It's
unreal if he isn't.
Let me change the name Charlie Yules and put the name Nick Ezekwe in there. How about that?
That's better. I don't mind that at all.
So and
except the fact that he played six for about 18 months.
Well, that's the thing. He's another one of those 5-6s.
But they brought him in as a like for Laws, haven't they? In case Laws gets or not.
When you order Courtney Laws from Wish.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but when both of them played for Northampton, Laws was playing in the row.
Is he quit six?
Playing at six.
Mm.
Interesting.
What happens if Laws is injured? If he can't play? Because then you've got to find a new captain.
Itoje.
Curry.
Right, it should
they
be.
Bring Itoje. Underhill to make Itoje captain.
Underhill's definitely not going to be playing.
Maybe ever again.
He's lined up for the Undertaker.
Why?
He had another. He was
made of another
concussion at the weekend. George North 2.0.
If Underhill was fit, he'd be in the squad. If he was fully fit, for sure.
Our biggest concern, if Laws is injured, you'll find someone to replace. Our biggest concern is we don't have anyone to replace Curry.
Mm.
Well, apart from his genetically identical brother.
Who isn't in the squad.
For reasons unknown to any man other than
Jones. Because since Curry went in the squad and spent more time playing for England, he got better than Curry.
I think I may have said this before, but imagine having Ben Curry in the changing rooms at halftime and just playing them 40 minutes about and not telling anyone.
I'm not going to dignify that.
Why? They're identical twins.
I'm pretty sure that kind of gag would have been made on
Mud.
Yeah, or Goode and Hamilton's podcast.
Oh, yeah, all right.
They've definitely made that joke. 100%.
You'll know, you listen to it.
I'd rather listen to the sound of you having your gooch licked.
Before you said that, oh, yeah, we were talking about the Currys. That's right. So if Laws doesn't play, Curry captain or Itoje captain, do you think?
Itoje.
Yeah.
He should have been captain five years ago.
Yeah, I completely agree. Although I don't think he will for some reason. I think if he was gonna be made captain,
he would already be captain.
He'd be actual captain, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
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 So there we go. Any other thoughts or queries on the squad? Obviously, by the time next week comes around, there'll probably be some more injuries if anybody's been playing for the Premiership teams. This week.
There was a couple of things I was going to. I think Barbary, I'd have him on the bench for this game, and I'd be tempted to start him against Italy and see how he went because.
Getting your one cap against Italy, though, tends to be your only cap.
Yeah, I mean, I'm envisioning him getting sort of 20 minutes in this game, see how he gets on against Italy, and then maybe using him as a point of difference against Wales. But the other thing, I think everything I've heard about this squad kind of just forgets a little bit that we're playing Scotland in Scotland in February. So,
do you remember the last time that happened?
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say Doug specifically.
My training's cancelled.
Yeah, any thoughts of attacking rugby might be completely pointless, which is why the team I've picked has got the back three I trust the best under the high ball, because it could be played.
Do you remember in that game they punished us with a high ball because that was where Furbank played fullback, wasn't it? And he really struggled.
Quite right. Yeah.
I mean, it was blowing an absolute gale and pissing down. So I'm not sure Stewart would have done much better, but.
Rain forecast as well.
I was just going to say, I would pay to watch Stewart in a game like that.
You'd pay to watch Stewart undress, mate.
I would, yeah, yeah. I'm your biggest fan, Freddie. I'm your biggest fan. I passed out three times.
Drizzle under moderate breeze forecast. I think in all this raving about Barbary, people have seemed to have forgotten how good Lewis Ludlam is.
No, not at all. I think Barbary's better.
Yeah, you've probably seen more of both of them than I have. I'm less convinced that he is that much better. I can't remember which game it was. It was a Northampton game where Ludlam seemed to just basically carry the entire team.
He's a force of nature when he's on, old Ludlam. But the facts are there for all to see that, you know, that Saints pack is soft and he's part of that Saints pack. So.
And I personally think Radwan's better than Hassel Collins.
I don't disagree. I also think he's potentially the third best of that London Irish back three.
Yeah.
But he's
with Loader and Parton. Is it Loader and Parton?
Yeah.
He's got that physical presence, isn't he? I think having watched Hassel Collins, he's a big lad, which Eddie Jones seems to like. He goes through those big wingers.
He falls off tackles, though. He makes bad decisions.
If he's not got a straight run in on the wing to beat a man and go straight on the wing, if he drifts inside, he tends to make bad decisions, from what I've noticed. Scores some great tries, one-on-one, but in field, joining in...
Butchers three-on-ones.
Makes bad decisions, yeah. But
I think Radwan's been pretty impressive a lot of late.
Radwan is Chris Ashton, circa 2009.
When Doug, when you said he's the third best of that back three, I thought you were including Kyle Rowe, the the wish.com James Taylor with a mullet, which is a local Newquay joke.
Yeah, like he's a good player. The best wish.com joke was made on Twitter in the last 24 hours by a certain Mr. Russell Wilson.
I couldn't stop myself when I saw it, and I thought, yes, wow, it's incredible. Those of you that know will see my Twitter, and you'll know. Right, let's move on from the England squad. We've talked to death about that. Let's get into some money line for the weekend. The Premiership is back, finally. Europe is over. Douglas, have you got some money line questions for us lined up?
You'd think, wouldn't you, based on the fact that we said we were going to do it, but no,
we haven't. That's I haven't. Good.
I've let the website lapse.
Amazing. So you better log in again then.
Well, just bear with me. Bear with me.
No problem. I'll fill because
talk amongst yourselves.
Dead air is a crime. Phil, how's that ankle come
what
along?
You need still, some lift music.
Yeah, getting there.
Still injured.
Yeah, still injured, but I did a bit of work on it on Friday. Covered a kilometre without breaking down, so that's progress.
All day.
Yep. Yep.
Right then.
Yeah, let's go.
That was nice, wasn't it?
There
Phil's
we go.
Injury update. Da-da-da-da-da. Are we doing the Six Nations games as well, yeah?
Well, we can do, but there's 2 weeks. We can do those next week.
It's 2 weeks, yeah. All right then, so Bath looking to get at least a losing bonus point against Harlequins without any of their good players.
All the best.
All the best.
Who hasn't got any of their good players?
Just signed Nathan Hughes.
Isn't that an odd situation? So he played for Hartbury on Friday night, didn't he? With Mitch Eadie. Yeah. Mitch Eadie played at six for Hartbury.
Scored a try.
Doesn't what's his face still play for him?
Ballard. Yeah.
For Bath.
Yeah, he's not fit. It's not fit though.
He's never fit. He'll be off in the summer. I reckon he's probably his contract must be done soon.
I think that's all he's signed and sealed.
I think that's a done, isn't it? Yeah.
Is it done? Can't blame him for not wanting to get his ass handed to him every week then.
Well, he's going to go and play in Wales. It's still going to happen.
Oh, that's true. They are fucking rubbish, every single one of them regions. And some.
Yeah, they really, really are. So, what are we saying?
Wins by 28.
Bath Quinns.
Nothing's going to change that.
Yeah, that's true. I am going to say Bath by. Sorry, no, I'm definitely not saying that. I'm saying Harlequins by 18.
Yeah, I'm going to say I think Bath are crap. Harlequins are good. Harlequins will not have their England internationals, I'm guessing, and probably will rest a few players. So I'd say Harlequins by 12.
Russ gets it on the nose. It's 18, and Russ has definitely got Betfair.com open.
I have not, I promise you.
Well, yeah, because what you'll do now is you'll get one wrong, but just enough to not win.
I haven't,
it.
No. Well, what's the point
and
in
then
that,
you'll,
mate?
You'll
no
get
point
at least one more. You'll get at least one more nailed on, won't you?
I won't.
Fair enough.
Well, there's no point in cheating, mate. I'm only cheating myself and the listeners.
And us.
You're cheating the listeners, mate, and they're the most important thing.
They are. We appreciate every single one of them.
London Irish.
Just not Matt.
Exeter. London Irish don't lose too many players. They're losing Hassel Collins, but they can replace him with Loader.
And they don't lose very often at home, do they? London Irish.
Here is another thing we didn't talk about with the England squad. What's Joe Simmons got to do if he's behind Orlando Bailey?
But that's the point. He's not behind Orlando Bailey, is he? He's picked Orlando Bailey with no intention of giving him any game time. If he picks Joe Simmons, there potentially is an expectation that he has to, that there would be him playing.
Did we already talk about that? And I wasn't paying attention.
Not really. I think that Eddie Jones potentially doesn't really rate Joe Simmons. I think he probably sees him a lot like Sam Simmons as an extremely functional player in an extremely functional system. Joe Simmons doesn't do anything spectacular.
If Baxter gets that job after the World Cup last in 2019, Simmons has probably got 35 caps by now.
What does Joe Simmons have to do to play for England? He has to kill Eddie Jones. Is that simple?
Yeah.
There might be some legal red tape that you'd have to go through, though, if he did that.
25 to life, you mean?
Yeah, so what... does that count as red tape?
Okay, London
so
Irish at home.
London Irish, Ben?
Exeter by 5.
Ben?
I agree with what Doug was hinting at, that I think London Irish might sneak that, but I don't think the money line will be reflective of that. So I think the money line would probably be something like Exeter by 3.
Russ?
I think it will be Exeter by 8.
Now, I think I'm right in saying this. Betfair has got London Irish by minus 3, which means they're 3-point favourites, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's London Irish. So
London
none of you
Irish
are right.
By 3.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No. Did anyone say London Irish?
Nope.
No.
No. Exeter. I said I thought they might win, but I thought the bookies would have Exeter.
Well, you were wrong.
Oh, yeah, hold on. London Irish minus 3. Yeah?
Yeah.
That means they can win by...
Yeah, they've got to win by 4 to
by 4 points
to cover
the bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we did a money line thing, we probably should have understood money lines.
Well, yeah, I do.
We kind of do.
Lines, but that just threw me because I was expecting to see, you know.
Because a plus line is the underdog, isn't it? Exeter by 5. Like, as Exeter plus 5.
Gives have a look at Bath. We'll soon know.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so Newcastle Gloucester, weird game. Gloucester are bloody good, mate. I watched them on Saturday. They're decent.
Yeah, they are. They're a really good side.
They are, but if they, as I mentioned previously about Harris and Atkinson being their stalwarts in the middle, if they've lost Reece Samet, May to injury. Atkinson and Harris international potentially. Who's playing to out? Old chain to a radiator playing at 10.
Hastings.
Not in the squad.
Like the banner. No.
Well, Hastings or head and shoulders own Lloyd Evans. The other thing is while we're, you know, doing a circle back to the England chat. If I don't understand how Lewis Ludlow goes from being England captain in the summer to being not in the squad at the expense of Charlie Yules.
It's a different position though, isn't it? And I know what you're going to say.
No, he plays in the row, doesn't he?
No, he plays
7. To be honest, he would be our best replacement other than Curry.
He played in the role Saturday.
For Curry if he was injured. He would be the most natural replacement for Curry if he was injured.
I mean, I could see he might play in the row, but he plays the majority of his rugby at 7.
He does. He takes pretty much every line out.
There you go. So what are we saying then? Newcastle, I mean, Gloucester they are really, truly out there in a wasteland, aren't they? They could have Pele, Eusebio, and...
George
the original,
Foreman.
The original, and Tamak playing for him, and nobody would watch him still.
No, because they'd all be ancient.
Mate, well, they could be offering out free cocaine, and hand jobs at halftime.
They could drive a minibus. They could drive a minibus around the big market and pull up a load of 18-year-old women in what can only be described as small dresses. And line them up at the entrance, and they still wouldn't get a full house.
Yeah.
Saying free pokes.
Free pokes. finger blast your way in, lads. Just finger blast your way in. Why aye?
Just dip your finger in the Vaseline and go.
In you come.
That's going to get us cancelled.
Yeah, probably. Just as we sign a lucrative contract.
Rugby Podcast Awards
digging their
up.
Fingernails out from there.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say, because Gloucester are away, Newcastle's a shit place to go. I'm going to say Newcastle by 5.
Gloucester by 8. They're too good to lose to Newcastle.
I was going to say Newcastle by 3.
It's Newcastle plus 3. So they're the underdogs. That's Gloucester, right?
Yeah. Newcastle have got a 3-point head start.
Yeah. So that's actually Gloucester. So you're all wrong. Again. Going well.
I would say that Ben was closest because he said.
Well, no, he would, but you'd be
that'd
talking.
That'd be a draw, wouldn't it? That'd be a money line
Ben,
draw.
No, because Ben was 6 away and I was 5 away. So.
Yeah, but you both picked the wrong team to win.
No, they both didn't. Picked Gloucester.
No, Ben Phil's, picked Phil's Newcastle by 3 and I said Gloucester by 8.
Right, okay.
God, I'm worse than this. I'm worse at this than Craig is at quizzes.
Okay, so Phil wins that one then. Anyway.
Yeah, so Worcester against Northampton. Again, I mean, anything could happen in this game, couldn't it? I mean, if Northampton turn up and remember that they can play rugby, they'll blow them away. But if Worcester turn up and remember they can play rugby, they'll blow Northampton away.
I think both teams are...
shit.
Extremely soft. I think with the ball in hand, both teams can do excellent stuff. Without the ball, both teams are pretty bang average at best. So I would say in a high-scoring affair, it would be probably Northampton by 5 in a 60-point game.
Wow.
You said Northampton by 5.
Yeah.
I was going to say Northampton by 6 because I think Northampton are the better side.
I was going to say Northampton by 8 when Doug asked me.
Okay, well, Russ will get that because it's actually Northampton by 1.
Oh, wow.
Which seems almost too easy to win that. I don't particularly understand that line, to be honest.
Don't worry about it.
No, well, I'm not.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. Sale against Leicester, shorn of all their good players.
Well, and actually, yeah. I think missing George Ford will have a fairly large effect on Leicester, plus the others that they're missing as well.
We won't get. Commentator saying, always putting up a spiral bomb.
Yeah.
Like it's some kind of dark sorcery.
He's putting up a kick, yeah. And I think there's an opportunity there for Sale. Sale had a decent result fairly recently.
Yeah, they beat the Ospreys, which was basically playing an amateur.
In the Premiership, I mean. I can't remember who it was.
They beat Bristol, didn't they? No, they didn't. They lost to Bristol. Did they lose to Bristol last minute? Was that when everybody was circle wanking you and Lloyd?
They beat Wasps. That was it. Right. Yeah, you're right. They lost to Bristol. They got humped by Bristol. They beat Wasps on New Year's Day. I think Sale are going to win it by 2.
Okay. Russ?
Ben, you go next.
I also think Sale by 5.
I really dislike Sale and everything they stand for. So I'm going to go for... the other team, who I can't remember who they are, by
3. Leicester.
Leicester by 3.
It's actually Sale by 3.
Ooh.
So, yeah. Hang on.
Did you say, Ben?
Again. I used to know all of this stuff, but now I don't. Sale minus 3. So that's Sale favourites by 3, right?
Yeah.
That's another one for me.
So, what's the score so far, Phil? If you're counting, I think Russ has got 2, you've got 2, and there was 1 no result, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so it's all on Wasps against Saracens.
Ben,
Saracens,
you go first.
With 460 players on international duty, they're still not cheating. Wasps with Barbary on international duty. And you could say their biggest handicap, Jacob Umanga at 10. Who is Whistle, by the way?
he is the most
He is the most overrated player possibly in Premiership history.
Has he served his ban, or is he still banned?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because their second choice playoff is better than him.
Atkinson?
Yeah.
It? Yeah. Mind you, Wasps got completely folded into a box by Munster on Sunday, didn't they?
Who's worse, Jacob Umanga or Rob Dupree?
I mean, it's got to be Rob Dupree, isn't it?
No, well, I don't know. I was going to say Umanga. Neither of them can tackle. Neither of them can make an effort to tackle.
They've both got shit lids.
Yeah.
Neither of them are the best players in their family.
Does Rob Dupree come with his brothers? And I well, did.
I mean, that's a game. That I was going to say that was one for the bunk beds in Bloemfontein, wasn't it?
I'm going to say Wasps by 4 because they're at home. There you go.
Nah, it's Saracens, isn't it? Saracens by 10.
This is the hardest one. What? I think maybe just because of who Saracens are missing, it's going to be Wasp by 3.
Well, I'm not entirely convinced that Russell Wilson is not a big dirty cheat.
I promise you on my kids' lives that I am not a big dirty cheat.
It's Saracens by 8, so Russ wins yet again. Yet again.
This is the first time I've ever won a money line competition, so that means...
Absolutely is not. That cannot be true.
Which means that Ben's won all of the other ones, because I've never won one.
Yeah, what it means is... If you're going to place a bet at the weekend, do the exact opposite of what I have just said, because that will be what happens. Right, let's move on to any other business, shall we? Ben, do you have any other business this week?
No.
Fair enough, Phil.
I can't decide whether to do my any other business or not, because it's not a cheery subject, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I mean, if I can mock you relentlessly during it, then
you'd be a bold man.
I'd let
him start first.
So we're watching the second series of Cheer at the moment, the Netflix docuseries about Navarro College cheerleading squad, and get about 3 or 4 episodes in. And they basically spend an entire episode talking about how one of the male cheerleaders has regularly and frequently approached 13, 14-year-old cheerleaders at competitions and contacted them on social media and then sent videos of him cracking one off to them and then propositioning them in the toilets for a quick bit of how's your brother?
Go on then, Russ. Pitch in.
Yeah, pitch in, Russ.
I mean, keep it light, Phil, for the love of God.
Well, yeah, actually, the first 10 minutes of watching it was extremely awkward. And then I think they handled it really, really well. And
who
really
are you watching it with?
Considerately, Julie.
That's what he said.
Handle it carefully.
And just like, I can't understand why anybody would choose to do that and why anybody would go down that route. But the point I wanted to make was the head coach of that cheerleading group has had so much abuse hurled at her because of what he did. And I understand that if people see things and don't take action, that's not good. But if people don't see things, you can't really tear into them for the actions of other people. Like, ultimately, we all have to be responsible for our own actions. We can't be responsible for the actions of others. And there are some horrible, horrible people in the world. But don't tarnish everybody else because they knew the bloke. Make sure that when it does go to court 3 years down the line,
he ends up with, well, he's looking at a 25-year minimum jail term, which, and I can't imagine he'll have much fun in prison either as a child sexual predator. But yeah.
Cool.
Just to, yeah. Cool. Can we do something cheery now?
Doug? Ooh. I mean, Doug?
You may have heard on Egg Chasers, but on the 2nd of February, we can announce now that me and a few people are putting on a rugby match at Chinna Rugby Club for their game against the RAF. You may remember a couple of years ago, I did a similar thing with the RAF against the Army, which was quite successful. This one's going to go through the Egg Chasers website. There's every chance the Egg Chasers will be on site doing a live podcast. So if you're in the Chinna region, get your ass down. The bars will be open, a live Egg Chasers podcast. You know, they're just going to be mooching around, having a bit. I think there's rumours Laura Jane Jones will be there as well, if you're that way inclined.
Is Chinna, Doug, for people that don't know where Chinna is?
Near Tame, so it's in between Oxford and Aylesbury.
Excellent.
Near Bicester Village. For your shopping needs beforehand, take the wife. Yeah, it should be quite interesting. It's 7:45 kickoff, hoping to get a good 45 minutes of build-up with, you know, all the typical stuff, but we're trying to do it with a bit of a kind of, you know, a bit more of a clubhousey kind of feel, rather than the less the changing room feel of BT Sport or the suits of Sky. We want to kind of make it like, you know, you're just down your local rugby club, and it may lead to other stuff. So we could do your support if you don't mind. Come down, bring your friends, tell your mates. If you know anyone that lives in Tame or Chinna or Prince's Risborough or Aylesbury, that end, or if you even live in London, it's only sort of half hour up the M40. So, come down, have a look. It'll be fun. There'll be beer. There'll be semi-famous people, and we can, you know,
have a lovely time.
Have a lovely time, and I'll make loads of money and I'll retire. Thank you.
Brilliant. Well, fingers crossed, mate. And, you know, I, for one, would have loved to been able to get up there. But living in the arse end of nowhere does not render it pleasurable to mine eye.
3 days a year, it's worth it, eh?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. But that's it for this week's Ball Over podcast. And we will all see you next week. Premiership's back, which is great. We don't have to contend with any more of that European shit. And we'll be back next week with some Premiership chat, and look forward to the Six Nations and Doug's TV stuff. So go well.
Sports Social Podcast Network.